Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Well, it's so good to be standing on this stage this morning, not only that I'm a pastor, but also because 8 weeks tomorrow, I was wheeled into a Mercy Hospital to undergo a full knee construction, and then quietly wonder if I'm ever going to walk properly again or get back to my dancing routine. 2 months ago, it was hospital gowns, it was physio charts, and also painkillers. Today, it's a real clothes that I'm wearing now, and also a nice smile on the face, and with the amazing grace of God in every step along the way. If you want a picture of, hope delay, what it looks like, try lying awake in a hospital bed at 3 a.m. in the morning with a knee that feels like it's been rebuilt with a spare parts from Bunning. Asking, how long before this hurts going away? How long before I can walk with wincing? Progress was real, but it was quite slow. Some mornings, standing up felt like climbing Mount Everest. My marathon was 20 steps from the bed to the bathroom. And then there was rehab. The physio came in with a clipboard and a very confident smile and said, all right, we're going to get you walking. I look at my leg, wrapped, swollen, heavy, hurt, and I thought to myself, maybe you got the wrong room, wrong patient. She swung my legs off the bed, handed me a frame and said, just one step. Those few steps feel like crossing the Pacific Ocean in a very bad day. Yet every day the physio would say, we are aiming for a little bit more than yesterday. Sometimes a little bit more was one extra step. And I felt like nothing, felt like the delay. But looking back, those few small steps, painful gains were leading toward me walking up, dancing all the way up here. This morning among you all, bearing witness that God made us in slow season and in delayed hopes. And that is the heart of the message that we're going to look at this morning. God's timing often feels delayed, but His saving purpose in Christ are always perfectly on time. If you are new and if you happen to miss the last few sermons or the next few, go online and you just download, have a look at those sermons, download and send it to somebody. You know, it doesn't cost you delivery costs. It doesn't cost you a petrol to drive in and send the sermons to someone who might just need it to have some encouragement. And only take one little click to send that link, encourage somebody. God's timing often feels delayed, but His saving purposes in Christ are always perfectly on time. And we're going to see that in a story of this guy named Simeon, in Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and in Paul's theology in this letter to the Galatians. Simeon waiting. He was waiting for consolation. He described Simeon this way. He was a righteous and devout waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Those three phrases are packed with a theology. For those of you who have been around church for quite some time, bear with me. I want to explain righteous, and this speaks of Simeon's life in line with God's law. You know, he relates rightly to other people. He devoted himself. This speaks of his posture towards God, reverent Godward, attentive to his God. And finally, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That means he places him inside in Israel's story, clinging to the promises of Isaiah in Isaiah 40 to 66. That speaks of God Himself will come to comfort His people, to forgive sin and restore them. This Simeon is not just a good-looking old man with a robe. He's an Old Testament believer standing at the edge of the Old and going to the New Covenant. He has lived under the law, under the Roman occupation, under prophetic silence, and yet he is still waiting for what God promised to him. His life is a living sermon about what seems to be a faith in intention. That is a promise given, fulfillment not yet seen. And that was seemed to be the theme of the sermon, that God has revealed by the Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Christ Jesus, Lord, the Savior. That means Simeon's hope is not a vague kind of optimism. It is anchored in revelation. Hope is in the Scripture is not some kind of wishful thinking, something that could happen. It is a full confident expectation based on God's character and God's word. Year after year, Simeon will just keep rolling, doing the same thing, going into the temple courts. You know, hear the same prayers, sees the same sacrifices, watches the same empire, fly the flag over Jerusalem. His body gets older, his joints are getting aching. And, you know, the Messiah does not arrive, but Simeon, he keeps turning up, he keeps on listening, he keeps on waiting. And that is the biblical hope. It is not about the absence of delay, but the faithfulness within delay. Maybe some of you are in the midst of a Simeon season. You have a promises you believe God has given about family members, about healing, about calling, and about provision. You know, you are prayed, fasted, cried, and yet circumstances look unchanged. Let me tell you about the parable of the Windham Carol. Yes, last night many of you felt just like me. In a smaller way, what happened. You know, everybody was ready. The team had worked so hard for weeks. Thousands arrived full of expectation. And I was waiting with my tongue and skirts around me, getting ready to get up on the stage and sing. And then the rain just would not stop in the end. It was the right decision to be able to cancel. But you know what? It was disappointed. But that is a little parable of how life often feels like. Plans are good. Hearts are ready. And then something outside of our control washes it all away. But while the carols was canceled, God's purpose were not. Because the temptation that we often fall into, that we come to a point where we interpret God through the delay. God must be angry. We didn't do enough. We didn't pray hard enough. Instead of interpreting the delay through the eyes of God, the hope of Christmas was not about delayed or watered down by the weather, because God's timing often feels delayed, but his saving purposes in Christ are always perfectly on time. Simeon shows us another way. His title in heaven is not about that he's a high priest or miracle worker or the best event manager. His title is about righteous and devoted and waiting. That's the point, the fact that faithfulness in the middle of not yet is greatness in God's economy, in his kingdom. Because hope delayed is not theoretical, even for my own family. My father served for decades as an ordained minister in the Methodist Church in Tonga, and then the USA and here in Australia when they moved here. He wore the robe and collars, much looking better guy like myself. He led services, preached sermons, performed the duties. From the outside, he looked like a professional Christian. But being surrounded by the thing of God is not the same as being personally united to Christ by faith. The reformer called this that the difference between being in the visible church and belonging to the invisible church, the real family of God who really trusts in Jesus Christ. In his 80s, the difference in his 80s, November 2006, after a lifetime of ministry, God opened his eyes. The Jesus he preached about became the Jesus he personally trusted. The Spirit moved from being a doctrine and tradition he affirmed to a presence who convicted and comforted his heart. And this elderly, ordained man did something humbling and so beautiful. He asked to be baptized and even asked myself to do it. I'm just coming into the ministry, so new, but he did. And my mom had the pleasure of being a part of it herself. I couldn't find my dad's baptism photo, but I found my mom. He was wearing his full suit, black collar, to symbolize something so important. In that moment, he was living out what Paul refer to or writes that God's kind of lead us to repentance, that the salvation by grace is not by a resume, that no one is too old for new birth. And that's you sitting here tonight. I've got some good news. It's never too late and never too old, never too far away. Because God, who had been patient for decades, brought my father and my mother to saving faith in their 80s even, in the fullness of time for their souls. From our vantage human cultural point of view, it felt kind of late. But from heaven's vantage point, it was right on time. Because near the end, his earthly life, like Simeon, my father could say that my eyes have seen the salvation on this moment. So when we watched the baptism this morning, we stood two beautiful testimonies this morning. We're not watching a religious ceremonies as much pastors stand. Love to be out there. If anyone else, the water's too nice and warm. He'll change the game. We are watching visible signs of an invisible grace. We are watching people step into the same stream as Simeon, as well as my father, encountering Christ in God's time and not theirs. Delay hope can be painful and risky. In Proverbs, the writer says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Folks, that is not theoretical or just a good, cliche, smart saying. It is a pastoral theology that is delay hope does something to us without noticing. Spiritual heart sickness can set in three things. Cynicism, that is, God can, but I don't think he will. I'm not good enough. I've done this so many sins, and I'm not good enough to do. I walk away and you heard this testimony. I'm not good enough until the moment in time that it comes that I am, no matter what. Secondly, self-protection. If I stop hoping, I can't be disappointed. We do that a lot of time. It's easier not to be hopeful so that we have to disappoint about the outcome. Just give up. And thirdly, distraction. If I stay busy or get entertained, I won't have to feel this ache or pain. I don't know where's your experience, what you experienced even recently, but let's get a little deeper here. For those who have been around church for a while, theologically, the danger is that we start to rewrite our doctrine, our theology on God around our pain instead of around his self-revelation that we find in the scripture. Because our experience becomes the authority instead of God's word. Instead of confessing God is good and my situation is hard, we begin to think that my situation is truth and maybe God isn't there enough or able. And this is why Simeon's description matters so much, because he is righteous and devout while he waits. Delayed hope has not corroded his view of God. It has deepened it. The Holy Spirit is still upon him. He's still responsive to God's leading. That delay has not cut him off from the Spirit. It has created capacity in him to recognize Christ when he comes. And it might feel like your waiting has only produced frustration. But in Christ's season of waiting are never wasted. They are wounds where God forms deeper trust, humility, patience, and discernment. For those who know church history, George Muller, who ran orphanages in the 19th century in England, again and again, he had long delays in provision. There were mornings where there's no food in the pantry and no money. And yet he would sit the children at the table and give them thanks for what was not yet visible. He was not playing mind games. He was acting on the theology that God understands the crying and the need of his children. Over the years of journals, Muller recorded long stretches where his faith was tired because of the long delay, and yet repeatedly, God provided at the last moment, and the delay was not evident of God's indifference, but an arena where God taught him to trust his Father's heart more than timing of the answer. So a question for you this morning, in your delay hope, which voice is shaping your image of God? Is it the ache of the scripture that is holding you up? Are you letting or hurt disciple you, or are you allowing the Holy Spirit to interpret your hurt through the cross, the resurrection, and the promise of God that is evident this morning? The invitation is not to pretend delay doesn't hurt. The Bible never tells you to get over it. The invitation is to bring the ache into the presence of God, to lament honestly, and at the same time to refuse to let disappointment become your new theology, a way of knowing God. Because when delay becomes an encounter, Luke tells us that when moved by the Holy Spirit, Simeon came into the temple courts the very day Mary and Joseph brought this little child Jesus. From the outside, it looked unimpressive. A young, poor couple with their baby and a small offering. No angels in the sky, no choir singing, no star. Just an ordinary moment in a very busy temple. But in that ordinary scene, the eternal Son of God, now an infant, is carried into the house where God once filled the Holy of Holies. The true temple enters the temple, and the consolation of Israel is somehow literally in Simeon's arms. Simeon's song is deeply theological. Let me explain as we read. It says in Luke 2, "Lord, now you are letting your servants depart in peace. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of God's people Israel." Notice a few key truths here as we go deeper to unpack this song. Firstly, God's salvation is not an abstract concept. It is a person. Simeon doesn't just say, "I have seen the strategy and the plan." No, he said, "I have seen salvation." To see Jesus is to see God's saving purpose. Because secondly, God's salvation is both a particular and it's universal. It is glory to your people and a light for revelation to the Gentiles on the entire world. In other words, the long-awaited Jewish Messiah is at the same time the Savior of the nation. And the delay has not been about one nation or one family. It has been about preparing a salvation big enough for the entire world. Thirdly, Simeon's peace in death is grounded in fulfilled promise. He's ready to depart in peace, not because his life has been easy, but because God has kept his word. And then Simeon turns to Mary and gives us very sobering prophecy. You know, this child will cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel. He will be a sign spoken against, as a sword which pierced Mary's own soul. You know, that is the theology, the early theology of the cross, right in the very beginning of the story. The Messiah will come, will comfort, but he will also confront. He will also expose his heart, and he will bring salvation, but through suffering. So the end of Simeon's delay is not a need explanation. In some way, it is an encounter with a person who brings both comfort and cause. When I think about my story, you know, when my father stepped into the baptismal water very late in life, it was the kind of encounter. Decades of sermons and liturgies converge, not into a better system, but into a living relationship with the crucified and risen Jesus. Because right in that moment, God was not just answering our family's long prayers. He was confronting my father's reliance on the role and tradition and respectively, and invite him into a humble childlike trust. I believe that was what happened. For our family, that encounter became a sign that God delays and not God's denials. They are the stage where he often writes the clearest testimony of grace. And the baptism that we witness today functions the same way. They are public embodied confession that Christ has stepped into real human stories and stories of delay, of sin, disappointment, and pain, and has brought salvation. And each person going under the water and coming up again, it's preaching to us that Jesus met in his time, not mine, not yours, and that is grace. The question is, when Christ walked into your temple courts, when Christ walks in to your ordinary day, when Christ walked in to your waiting room, when Christ walked in to your hospital bed, do you recognize him? Or has delay so hardened your heart that you no longer expect to see him? You just can't see the God of perfect time because you missed it. Galatians 4:45, Paul writes this, but when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Oh, I didn't know this water. According to the apostle, the fullness of time doesn't mean, a long time later. It means the moment of history God has already prepared. Historically, the Roman Empire provided roads, a common language, and a relative peace, all factors that will kind of help the gospel spread. That's good. Spiritually, Israel had lived long enough under the law to realize that the law doesn't save them. They needed a redeemer, not just more regulation. In other words, the apparent delay was actually preparation. God was not inactive in that period. He was arranging the state of history so that when Christ came, his death and resurrection would be good news for the Jews and for the Gentiles for the first century, for every century, including ours, until he returns. Paul also says that Jesus was born of woman and born under the law. That is the doctrine of incarnation and the active obedience to Christ. The eternal Son takes a real humanity, steps under the same law that condemns us, obeys it perfectly in our place, and then bears its curse for our sin on a cross. Only then, he can redeem you and I from slavery to sin, from condemnation, from trying to earn what can only be received as a gift. Allegra and Jonathan receive that gift. And the goal is not just forgiveness, it's adoption. For Jonathan and Allegra, it's not over. It doesn't mean that you're just being forgiven and then you come and say, oh, good, I just go to the church. I don't need to do anything. I can do whatever I like. No, he didn't say run for your life. God does not only release you from prison, he brings you to a home as family to nurture and to grow. He gives you the spirit of his son so that you cry, Abba, Father. You move from slave to son or daughter, from fear to intimate relationship. So when we say God's time is perfect, we are not mouthing a good cliche. We are confessing a deep gospel truth that at the right time in history Christ came. That at the right time in your personal history, the Spirit awakened you to that Christ. And at the right time in my mother and my father's 80 years, God opened their heart. Your story is inside the bigger story. These two people's story are inside the story. And maybe the one who has not made to make that decision will be written into that bigger story. Maybe some of you are still asking the question, but why God delays? And how to live in the wait? Scripture and experience has suggested several reasons God sometimes delays. And each one calls a specific response. Firstly, to form our character. Simeon's waiting produces a man who is righteous and devout with a heart that turns to God's promises. Long obedience has shaped him into someone who can recognize the Messiah in a swaddling clothes. George Muller's delays form in him a radical trust in God as Father. My father and mother's long journey mean that when he finally stepped into the water, it was not casual, it was deep surrender, repentance, and glory and joy. In your life, delay may be God's workshop. Character cannot be microwaved. God is far more concerned with who you are becoming in the waiting than how quickly you get what you want. Here's the application. Instead of only asking, Lord, when will you change my circumstances? Instead, ask, Lord, what are you shaping in me through my delay? Secondly, to teach us to depend on him, Israel's centuries under the law exposed that self-salvation does not work. The law is holy and good, but it cannot give life to sinners. It can reveal sin, but it cannot remove it. That prepares the way for Christ who does what we cannot do. In your delay, God may be gently but firmly prying your fingers off the illusion that you are in control. You're not. He may be bringing you to the end of yourself so that you lean on grace in a way that you never have done before. So the application is this: Lord, I confess how much I lean on my own strength, strategy, and timeless. Teach me to rely on you. Teach me to receive, not just to try and achieve. Next one, to align our desires. Simeon is not waiting for personal success. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel, for God's redemptive plan to come to pass. And over time, even our prayers for people we love shift. In my family, we move from, Lord, make my dad what we want him to be, to, Lord, let him truly know you. And that's a shift from self-centered desire to the heart of God. A practical step is regularly bring your desire before God and say, search me, O God. And if there are places where my will is fighting yours, realign mine with yours. And then finally, to weave us into a larger and bigger and beautiful story. The fullness of time for Christ was not about one village or one family. It was about all nation and all generation. Simeon holds the little baby in his hand, but the baby will be the Lamb of God of the world. My father's late life baptism is not about him. It is about a testimony to grandchildren, to a church. No one is beyond God's reach. It's never too late to truly trust Christ. Your obedience is a season of delay, maybe one of the most powerful seasons or sermons someone else ever hears. The way that you hold Christ in your pain, the way you refuse to walk away and say, I don't want to hope anymore, the way you gather with God's people even when you feel nothing, those choices may be the means God uses to awaken faith in someone watching you. So ask, Lord, who might you be reaching through the way I walk through this waiting? So when hope is delayed, something happens and it's calling us. Hope is decided. All of this brings us to a decision. For those not yet following Jesus, the heart of the message this morning in Galatians 4 and Luke 2 and in Christmas in itself is this: at the right time, God sent his Son to redeem and adopt you. Salvation is not something you have to work up. It is someone that you receive. The delay in your life is not a sign that God has forgotten you. Please hear me. It may be the very context in which he is calling you by name. Simeon saw the consolation of Israel and embraced him. My father, after decades of ministry, humbled himself and said, I need Jesus for myself, and stepped into the water of baptism. The people baptized today have publicly declared Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Folks, it is never too late for you, but it's unwise to keep postponing. Because hear me this. Hear this: one day so easily becomes never. The softening you feel in your heart today is itself a gift of God's timing, perhaps. You are not promised that your heart will fall this way next week. You can right now turn to Jesus in your own words, and you can say this: Lord Jesus, I believe you came for me, died for my sins, and rose again. I confess I cannot save myself. I surrender to you. Forgive me, make me yours, and bring me into your family. Then make it concrete. Speak with a pastor. There's a few of us here. Come and talk to us, or speak to a trusted believer who's sitting next to you, or when it's necessary. If you know you need to get baptized as a step of obedience, say so. Do not walk away from this room still undecided about the one who stepped into history and onto a cross for you. And for those of you who have been a believer for quite some time and are in a long season of waiting, if you already belong to Christ but feel like your hope is hanging by a thread, over illness or over mental health, finances, relationship, or a calling, this message is God's invitation to you as well. Do not settle into permanent disappointment. I want you to name the cynicism, the numbness, and the anger, and bring it into God's light. Lay down your timeline again and your strategy and offer it to God before it hardens your heart and it's hard to intervene. Refuse to wait alone. Let others stand with you and pray with you and walk with you and believe with you when you are tired. Today can be a particular turning point, and I'm encouraging you to stand as we wind up our sermon this morning. If you may need to come forward for prayer and simply say, I am in a season of delay and I need God's strength. You may need to stand together with your feet, or you know, it might make that time for you to be able to say, Lord, I surrender my schedule and my plan to you and trust your faithfulness time. You may need to talk to someone this morning straight after the service. Ask for help to guide you home. Simeon's years were limited, yet he responded. My father's years were running out, yet he responded. And you do not know how long you have and how long this particular tenderness of your heart will last. Can I encourage the rest of you to stand? And I want you today, let your delay hope drive you not into bitterness, but into the arms of God through Christ. Let this be the day you say with your lips and your life, and if you like, repeat after me, Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation in Jesus. I trust you with my past, my present, and my delay hopes. I am yours. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your word this morning that encourages us. For no matter where we are in our journey, no matter where we are in our denomination, where we are in our doctrine, Lord, we want to be open to your leading this morning. Maybe there is something that speaks to us, because all of us, we have something in common. We all have delay hopes in our lives. That no matter where we are in our journey, whether we're still thinking about committing our life to follow Jesus, whether we have gone so far and we are still struggling in that season of waiting. And Lord, we just want to pray, Holy Spirit, the same one that ministered to Simeon, my dad, and those who got baptized, continue to remain in us. So that as we walk out today, Lord, we will take that opportunity to speak someone, to make the firm decision, to know, Lord, that even in our delay, you are with us to carry us through to the fulfillment. And no matter when that will happen, we know that we can rejoice like all of these people that we learned from this morning. So, Father, thank you for your word. Continue to speak through us as we leave from this place here, knowing that you have so blessed us with your words to encourage each of us this morning. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus, and all God's people say, amen.